You have a Bible today, we'd like to turn to the scripture. It's found in Psalms 37, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8 reads, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil." Let us pray. We're thankful, Lord, for the pleasure of being here today. We're thankful for the blessings of life that you give to us. We just pray, God, that you would take everything that's been said and done in the Sunday school hour and the lessons that were taught there. The worship team, Lord, their talents, we thank you for them. Lord, the ministry of the shoeboxes that we participate in every year, we just pray that we would be challenged to do even more than we've done in the past. But we pray, God, that you would take everything that's been said and done and use it for your honor and for your glory. But now, God, as we come to this portion of the service, we pray that you would guide me as I shall speak, these people as they shall listen. We pray, God, that we would do those things in life that you tell us to do that will bring us true happiness. We know that you're the source of happiness. It's only when we obey you and love you that we can, Lord, live the kind of lives and experience the kind of experiences that we want in life. Bless us in every way. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Now, many studies down through the years have proven this, that for the majority of people, the thing that they desire most in life is just simply to be happy, to feel good about themselves, to be contented, to be at peace. And most people want happiness even more than they want money or power or popularity. As a matter of fact, many of the decisions that we make in life, many of the most important decisions we make in life, we do this because we are seeking happiness first and foremost. For example, the person that you married, why did you marry them? Well, first of all, we would say because we love them. We felt that very special feeling in our heart that, you know, that's the person for me and that's the person that I'd just like to spend the rest of my life with. I know how I felt about Jewel, and I believe that she felt the same way about me. I mean, after all, I was so irresistible and all of that. You believe that? You believe that somebody's going to come see you December the 25th. But in all seriousness, that's one of the things that we had in mind. We felt that because of their values were similar to our values, you were compatible with that person, you thought that they would make you happy indeed. We all know about the fact that we're supposed to live happily ever after. Of course, that's not always the way marriage ends, but it should be that way indeed. But other things that we do in life, we do them, important things, we do them because we want to be happy. For instance, it's how much money we spend. Sometimes we spend it on things that will make us happy. Same is true with our time. Same is true with our effort and all of this. And there's nothing wrong with seeking happiness. There's nothing wrong with making that a priority in your life. As a matter of fact, the Bible mentions happiness many times. God is the source of happiness. God wants us to live a life of contentment and so forth. Now, let's realize this, that when we talk about happiness, we're not talking about a simple emotion. We're not talking about just simply feeling good for a period of time. We're talking about something that takes place deep within us. That is there regardless of what's happening in our lives. Even during the most troublesome and difficult times of life, when things are not going our way, we can still have the peace of God in our hearts. We can still enjoy the presence of God in our hearts, and therefore we'll be happy in the way that God tells us to. Now, of course, the world has its ideas about things that will make us happy or will bring us happiness. I saw a program the other day, and it was based on a study, and it said this: if you want to be happy, there are certain things you can do. First of all, it said get a dog. Maybe it means a pet. But a lot of people like dogs. I have nothing. I've owned several dogs in my life. I haven't owned one in recent years. But a dog does give you companionship. It's someone that you can always depend upon. And they do bring a certain amount of happiness indeed. I remember a man that I knew in Louisiana. He said to me, he was a little over 40 and he was still single. But he said that he went out and got a dog because he said that when he came home at night, he wanted to be greeted by something alive, something that was real, and he said that his dog was a great companion to him. A second thing they said to bring happiness is to get a front porch, of all things. And I remember Donald and Frankie saying, I don't remember if they even remember saying this to me, but they said that the neighborhood that they currently live in, that they didn't find the people as friendly there as where they lived before. And they mentioned something that I had never thought about. They said that in our previous neighborhood, everybody parked on the street and they came in the front and so forth. It said where we live now, and it's true where we live as well, said everybody goes through the back alley and parks there. And they go in the back door, they close the door, and you never see them again. But the idea behind the front porch is because you're just open to everybody. You sit out there. You're friendly to people who walk by on the street. And there's a certain amount of happiness that comes from that. Thirdly, they say and we would agree with this, have three very close friends. Someone that you can share everything with. Your good times, your bad times, somebody that you can talk to. Of course, that's invaluable in life. It says get at least an hour's natural light every day. And that means the outdoors. That means not just light like we see here in a building or in an office building, something like this. It means natural light. You get to enjoy the outdoors and God's presence and all of that. They did mention religion, and that's what they called it. But we know that many studies down through the years have proven the fact that people who have a strong faith, and certainly those who have a strong faith in God, are overall happier and more contented than those people that do not have any faith whatsoever. It mentions other things, marriage. Married people are happier than those who are not married. And it also says if you want to be happy, get at least 7 hours of sleep, of good sound sleep each and every night. Matter of fact, they did a study on football teams. And they said that those teams that where they encourage their players to get at least 7 hours of sleep every night, they perform a lot better than the teams that do not. This study went on to say they found the 25 happiest cities in America. The first was Boulder, Colorado, where supposedly the citizens there are happier than any place else. A couple of them were in California. One was in New England, and only one was in Texas, according to them, and this was Austin Round Rock. But happiness is very important, and I say that in its truest sense. I say true happiness, the kind that only God Himself can give. Happiness was so important that our forefathers wrote it into the Constitution. They said that every citizen has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By the way, in the writings of Albert Einstein, and this is a man that we associate with genius, with great intelligence, one of his writings that was discovered just recently, he said this. He said, a calm and modest life brings more happiness than the pursuit of success combined with constant restlessness. Now, Jesus Christ Himself was concerned about our happiness. Matter of fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, he starts it off with the Beatitudes. And he says, blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed are those who seek after God. Blessed are those who do the things that God wants them to do. He said, this is the person that is going to be happy indeed. Now, of course, this is not the world's idea of happiness. This is not what the world thinks will bring them happiness. Matter of fact, the world would tell you you need to do some things that ultimately do not bring you happiness, but they bring you a great deal of unhappiness. For instance, the world would say a happy person is one that drinks alcohol. A happy person is one that does drugs. A happy person is one that has a lot of finances or money. One famous Hollywood actress, she said this. She said, anyone that thinks that money cannot bring happiness has not learned to shop in the right places. Well, I wouldn't agree with that at all, but that was her idea. But our scripture for today from Psalms 37, we're given several things that will bring us not only happiness, but real joy, the kind that the world cannot give and the kind that the world cannot take away whatsoever. Now, sometimes our world gets in a turmoil, and I'm talking about the world in general. I'm talking about the things that happen internationally, the threat of nuclear war, things like this. Are the things that happen on the national level, such as two incidents just this past week that happened. There was in New York City, a man took a truck and just ran down several people on bicycles, killed 8 people and injured several others, a tragedy indeed of great proportions. A man in Colorado just went into a Walmart and just began to shoot people indiscriminately, so a terrible thing indeed. And sometimes our own personal lives can seem to be going along very smoothly, and then all of a sudden difficulty comes, things that we don't want, things we do not expect, but they're there nonetheless. It's kind of like a story I heard once about a small boy who decided to give his pet a bath. Now, the reason that he wanted to do this was because his friends, they had pets, and they washed them every now and then. They gave them a bath. The only difference between this boy and his friends, though, is all of his friends had dogs, and this boy had a cat. Now, we know that cats don't like water, and they certainly don't like baths, but his friends, again, it was kind of peer pressure. It was what they were doing and what he wanted to do. So if their dogs needed a bath, if their dogs needed to be washed, then his cat needed to be washed. And he mentioned it to his mother, and his mother said, no, said, don't do that, said, cats, they lick themselves, they wash themselves, they take good care of themselves, and they certainly don't need to be washed. But the boy thought about this, and he couldn't be satisfied. And he saw a commercial on TV about Tide detergent and how good it washed things, and he thought, well, that would be the thing that I need to give my cat a bath in. I need to wash my cat with. So we went down to the grocery store, and he got a box of Tide. He took it up to the cashier, and the cashier said, well, you're certainly a good boy doing shopping for your mother. And the boy said, I'm not exactly here for my mother. He said, I'm here because I'm getting this Tide for my cat to give my cat a bath to wash him up good. And the lady said, well, now, I wouldn't do that. Said, a Tide can't be good for a cat, and cats don't like to be washed. But the boy was insistent. He just took the Tide. He went home, and he washed his cat. Well, a couple of weeks later, he came back to the grocery store, met the same lady at the cashier stand or cashier counter, and she said, son, how's your cat doing? And he looked kind of sad, and he said, my cat died. And the lady said, your cat died. Said, was it the Tide that you washed it in? And he said, no, I don't think it was the Tide that killed my cat. He said, I think it was the spin cycle. Well, that would, the spin cycle is what we get into sometimes. I wouldn't wash a cat, and I certainly wouldn't wash it in the washing machine. I've never wanted to do that. But life sometimes can deal us some very unfortunate circumstances. And I said all that to say this, that even though life goes wrong for us sometimes, personally, we get sick, Things happen to us financially. Things can happen to us on the job. Things can happen to our family. Still, it does not need to rob us of our joy, our true happiness, of knowing Christ as personal Savior, of living the kind of life that He wants us to live. Now, Psalms 37, I call this God's recipe or God's formula for true happiness. And it says, it lists at least five things here, actually more than five, but I'll just mention five. If we want true happiness, we must do this. First of all, he says, do not fret. Do not worry. And regardless of our situation of life, regardless of how mature we are, sometimes we have a tendency to worry, don't we? And I don't mean don't be concerned about things in life. Don't try to do everything that you possibly can to alleviate situations and make them better. But you look at the Bible and it tells us throughout the Bible not to worry. If we're God's children, we have nothing really to worry about because we are His children, because He's our Father, because He will take care of us, because He will provide for all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And the thing that we worry about sometimes, or many times, that occupies our mind is not the things that we need, it's the things that we want. And when he's saying right here, don't fret yourselves because of evildoers, he's talking about people who look around at the world and say, this person doesn't go to church, this person doesn't love the Lord, this person never does the things they need to be doing, yet they prosper and I don't have as much as them. So he says, don't worry about those things. Don't fret. Don't envy evildoers because what they have is just temporary indeed. Now Jesus, again in the Sermon on the Mount, he mentions the fact that we shouldn't worry. And Matthew 6 verse 25, he says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, or your body, what you shall wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't gather into barns, but says God feeds them. If He feeds them, He'll take care of you. You are much more valuable than they are. He said, look at the flowers of the field. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't spin, they don't toil. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He said, instead of worrying, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, when he said, don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear, he's talking about the necessities of life, is he not? The basic necessities of life. But he said, don't worry because you need to have faith that God will take care of you. And, of course, God will take care of you indeed. He said, your emphasis should be this, to lay up treasures in heaven. To do those things that God wants you to be doing, and you will have happiness, you will have success indeed. Now, fretting or worrying, and that's the term used here, fret, but it means not to worry. Too many times we fail to realize that this shows that we don't have as much faith in God as we need to be having. When we focus on those things like that, we're taking time, we're spending good time doing that, and that's a negative emotion when we need to be trusting in God, when we need to be praying to God and trusting Him to supply all of our needs, which He will do indeed. So first of all, he says, don't fret. Second of all, he says, instead, I want you to trust in the Lord and do good. Now, we know the importance of faith. If you're a Christian, the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say that just one time, but it says it four times. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that we must have faith to believe that God is, and God's has sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins and all these other things. Those things are our faith indeed, and we walked according to faith each and every day. But when he mentions trust right here, that is an emotion, that's a feeling that is even greater than faith. Because it says that we truly depend upon God. We rely upon God for the things that we actually need. And God will take care of us. It's hard for us to think about that sometimes when things are not going our way. We like to be self-sufficient. We like to be self-reliant. And nothing's wrong with that. You must work for everything that you have. But most of all, if you'll do your very best, if you'll live for God, if you'll put Him first in your life, God will supply your needs. He will never fail you. You can always trust in Him. Now, why can we trust God? For several reasons. First of all, because He is so trustworthy. God's trustworthy. God doesn't ever promise us anything. God doesn't ever break His word. He always does exactly what He says He will do. And isn't that wonderful indeed to think that we've got that kind of God who's never failed us, who's never gone back on His word, who always does those things that are best in our life, that He will take care of us. Second of all, we need to trust Him, not only because He is trustworthy, because He is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. God is greater than any of our fears. God is greater than any of our problems. God is greater than any of our needs. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all things that we're able to ask or think according to His riches and glory. God's trustworthy. God is all-powerful and we can trust Him. Thirdly, God always keeps His promises. And by the way, did you know that there are literally hundreds of promises throughout the Bible? Hundreds. Especially to Christian people. And God has never, ever broken one of those promises. He has promised to take care of us spiritually. He's promised to provide for our physical needs, our emotional needs, our financial needs. Everything that we need, God has provided for us. So God keeps His promises, and God is a very personal God. That's why He can be trusted as well. You know, God knows everything about you, and God knows everything about me. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But He knows what our needs are. He knows what our problems are. He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows our temptations. He knows everything about us. And He customizes His blessings to us personally. He blesses us in a very special way and provides for our needs according to His great riches and glory. Next, we can always trust God because He's present with us at all times. Jesus said to His disciples, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And even though He was saying that to them and He was going to go away, He said, "I'll send you another one. I'll send you the Holy Spirit. I'll send you the presence of the Holy Spirit. And He'll walk with you. He'll give you power. He'll give you strength. He'll enable you to do the things that I want you to do, build the church and all this to carry on the message of Christ's salvation to a lost and dying world." God is always with us. We can trust Him for that reason. He's never outside the hearing of our prayers. He's always there when we need us. We can always rely upon Him. The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." That means if you're in the deepest, the darkest valley of your life, God is always there. And sometimes death even comes to Christian people, to our families, and it's very difficult, but God is always there with us. He says this, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not." He said, "I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing that you'll not be able to receive it all." So God can be trusted. Let's trust in Him. Let's learn to trust Him and rely upon Him completely. He is our advocate. You know, Jesus, when He died upon the cross, when He, showed Himself alive and was resurrected, He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs, and then He ascended into heaven, His ministry and His concern for mankind was not over. Because He's doing something in heaven for you and me today. He's our advocate. He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's praying with us. He's interceding to the Heavenly Father, "Have mercy upon these people because they're tempted. Have mercy upon me because they live in a sinful world. Have mercy upon them." You know, it's good to know that people are praying for us, and that's very comforting, but to know that Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all ways, just like we were, yet without sin, it's good to know that He sits at the right hand of God today interceding for us and praying for us that we'll be victorious, that we'll be happy, that we'll have the joy that He wants us to have indeed. It says, trust in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that anything and everything that I want in life, that He is going to give it to me? I don't think so, because I've asked God for things that He has not given me. And by the way, some of those things I'm glad that He didn't give. For years I thought, and by the way, I listened to a little theology that I believe that for a very short period of time, that thought, hey, really, if you ask God for a, and I wanted a Lincoln Navigator, by the way, of all things. And I've seen some since, and they're as ugly as about any car on the road, or about any, you know, SUV on the road. And I thought, I always wanted one of those things because, boy, I would look rich going down the road in it. Have mercy. When I asked the Lord for that, well, I'm glad He didn't get it. I'll just put it that way. But sometimes we get silly things that get in the way and so forth. But God can be trusted. God is always there for us. And He will answer our needs. And He will give us the desires of our heart. But our desires should be those things that will please Him, that will bring honor and glory to Him, that will bless others, not so much ourselves indeed, not as selfishly. Thirdly, He says, if you want to be happy, you shouldn't fret, you should trust in the Lord, and you should delight in the Lord's presence. Now, what does delight in the Lord mean? It means that we just enjoy God's presence. We enjoy talking to God and conversing with God. When you pray every day, don't just let that be a long list of, Lord, give me this, give me that, I need this, I got to have that. Don't let it be just that. Spend a time of fellowship with God, talking with God, because you delight to be in His presence. Enjoy hearing His voice, letting Him speak to you. Stop, be still, and know that He is God. When Jewel and I were dating and so forth, many times I would call her just to hear her voice because I delighted in that voice. She went off to college for 2 weeks, by the way, and we talked as much as we possibly could. She called after a week and said, you've got to come up here and get me. When I got up there to pick her up, I thought we were going out to a movie that night, and she said, I got to go back home. I got to see my parents. So I took her back home, and the only thing when we got home, her mother and her sisters were gone. We didn't see them. I had to drive back another 150 miles. I got there, and it was time to say goodnight. It was curfew for the students. She called the next Friday and said, Kenny, I'm leaving school because I just can't live without you any longer. I thought, oh, me. So I guess that's our love story right there. But I felt the same way. And by the way, in January, we'll be married 50 years. Praise God. 50 years. So we have delighted in each other's presence. But do you get delight? And there are people that we like to go be around. We just like to, they make us feel good. We just like to be in their presence. But how about the Lord? Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight in talking to Him. Delight in fellowshipping with God. The psalmist says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you know, I thought about people sometimes. They say they're Christians, but they don't like to go to church. They don't like to be around God's people. They don't like to read their Bibles. We should delight in God's presence because He loves us so very much. Delight in the Lord. And not only in the Lord's presence, but delight in doing things for God and using your talents for Him. Delight in giving to the cause, such as shoeboxes, such as to help other people who are poor, who are needy, who do not know Christ Jesus as personal Savior. Delight in doing those things. The Bible says this, it is more blessed, and again, that word means happiness, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So delight in the Lord. Delight in giving to Him. Delight in serving the Lord and using your talents for Him, and He will bless you. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, he says. Now, you know, commit means simply this, that we make a total surrender to God. We say, God, here's my life. Here's my talents. Here's my abilities. You do with my life exactly what you want to do with it. You know, we've all made that commitment. If you know Christ as personal Savior, and especially if you've been sanctified, you have died out to self. You have totally turned your life over to God and said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I trust that we have made that kind of commitment, because if God loved us so much, the Bible says, if He sacrificed His own Son and gave Him up for us, how much more should we be willing to commit our lives to Him and say, Lord, You take my life. I commit it to You. Everything is on the altar. I'll serve You in any possible way that I can. That's true commitment. That's what God wants. He wants control of our lives. And then finally, He says this, and this is not easy for anyone, not easy for me. He says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do you like to wait? Like to wait in the doctor's office? Like to wait to your own people? Do I like to wait for Jewel? No. All these things. But we must wait on the Lord sometimes. And God is not always on the same schedule we're on, by the way. He's not. Learn to be patient. Because God will work it out in His own time, in His own way. Everything comes out for our good and for His honor and for His glory indeed. So He says, don't fret. Starts this out by saying, don't fret. And then He ends it up. If you'll look at the scripture here, it says, don't fret. Don't worry about things. Instead, trust God. Delight yourself in the Lord. Do those things that God wants you. Commit yourself to God. Give God everything that you got. Say, Lord, here is my life. You use it in any way you can. I want to be of service to You. I want to help other people. I want others to see Christ Jesus in my life. And you will experience true happiness, joy unspeakable and full of glory, the kind that the world cannot give, the kind that money cannot buy, the kind that only God can give. He will bless you now, and He will bless you for all eternity. I'd like to ask you to stand with me today, and let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we love You today, and we thank You for what You have written in Your Word, God, not just right here in the book of Psalms, but what You have written in Your Word throughout, God, about that we can experience true happiness. Not the kind the world gives, not an emotional high, not a temporary feeling, but we can experience the true happiness, the joy of God in our life as we live for You, as we walk with You. We know that we live in a sinful world. We know that we live in troublesome times, God, perilous times is the way the Bible describes it. God, it's difficult to live a Christian life. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. But Lord, may nothing happen in our life that destroys our happiness and our joy of walking with You. May we not fret. May we trust in You and do good. May, Lord, we delight in Your presence. May we fully commit to You and be willing to wait on You regardless. Bless us in every way. In Christ's name we pray. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, the altar is open if anyone would like to come and pray. If you want God's blessings upon your life, if you want God to restore to you the joy of your salvation. Sometimes, you know, we get away from God sometimes. Sometimes we don't do the things that we should do. Sometimes our faith is not as strong. Sometimes we go the way of the world, the way of self, instead of the way of the Lord. You cannot do those things and be joyful. But if you'll obey the Lord, He will give you that joy, that strength. Need to come and pray, anyone? How about you? Will you join us in closing prayer? Some are coming. Would you come today? Would you join us? God bless you. God bless you. Who else would like to come? Let's pray for God's blessing. Let's pray for God's joy, because we've committed our lives to Him, because we trust Him and do good. How about you? How about you? Anyone else? Would someone like to raise their hand and just say, pray for me that I'll have that joy, that happiness in my life that God wants me to have? Yes, bless you. Bless you indeed. As we wait just one more moment, anybody else like to come to the altar? Not, you may be seated in the audience. If you'd like to come down to pray with someone, please come down at this time. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we love you with all of our heart. We pray, God, that you would look at our life, God. And if that joy, that true happiness is missing, we pray, God, that you would just look at our very life. May everything be committed to you. May our all be on the altar for you. Lord, you tell us to surrender our life, to obey you, God, and you will give us that joy, that strength that we need throughout our life. Some have come down here today, and we pray, God, that you would just give them victory. We don't know their exact need, Lord, what they stand in need of. It's personal, God, but you're here. Your power is here. And we pray that their faith in you would be very strong, that you would give them victory over their circumstances of life, that you would give them that feeling of joy in their heart, because everything is laid on the altar for you. Bless in every way, God. We claim victory, the victory that you promised us. You tell us, Lord, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. You tell us if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You tell us, God, that we can have joy and peace and happiness. We pray that you'd give it to us, Lord, through Christ Jesus. These things we ask in His name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Claim His victory today.